Hey everyone, this is Jamie Bateman. Real quickly, I wanted to share with you something that's been pivotal in the growth and success of my businesses, and that is my partnership with Haven Financial Services. I've been working with Haven for over a year now. Christine Valdez was on episode 70 of this podcast, so go check that out if you want to hear her story. It was a fantastic personal story for sure, but Haven has been awesome. They provide me with monthly reports that are super clear and discernible, and that provides me with clarity and focus so that I can do what I do best, which is running my businesses, not preparing financial reports. Again, if you're in the market for a top-notch financial service company, or if you just want to check one out, go to www.jamiebateman/haven and check out Haven Financial Services. Again, that's jamiebateman/haven. Can't recommend them enough. Christine and her team have been fantastic. So I definitely recommend you check out Haven Financial Services at www.jamiebateman/haven. Let's get back to the show. I really enjoyed this episode. We get the chance to chat with Dre Baldwin. Dre is a former professional basketball player, an author. He's published 33 books. He's a business coach. This is a very fun and lively and informative conversation. We walk through his story. We don't really focus specifically on one type of adversity necessarily. It's a very practical episode that I think you're going to be able to relate to. Lots of ups and downs, a lot about team sports and also kind of pivoting and listening to your customer and giving people what they want. He was an international basketball player, used some of the downtime when his career slowed down a little bit to put out content. He's been way ahead in the content game. He's been putting out content for probably almost 20 years now. So definitely cutting edge in that space. Dre has a big YouTube following. If you look up Work On Your Game, he's got a big Instagram following. He's been a public speaker, author, business coach. He's done a lot of things. Talks a lot about mindset, a lot about discipline, teamwork, consistency, showing up early, doing the right thing, and just, you know, a lot of keys to success in this one. Really, I really enjoyed this one, and I know you're going to get a lot out of it.
Welcome to From Adversity to Abundance, the go-to podcast for real estate entrepreneurs seeking not just to thrive, but to conquer with resilience and mental sharpness. Each week, join us as we dive into the compelling world of real estate through the lens of mental fitness, where challenges transform into opportunities. Get ready to transform your mindset and expand your understanding of what it takes to succeed in real estate. Let's explore these stories of triumph and resilience together.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. I am your host, Jamie Bateman, and I'm thrilled today to have with us Dre Baldwin of Work On Your Game. Dre is a business coach and an entrepreneur, and we're gonna have a lot of fun today. Former professional athlete as well. Dre, how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent, Jamie. I'm excited for this conversation. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great as well. I'm also excited. This is going to be fun. We were briefly chatting beforehand about team sports, and maybe I'll get to, you know, relive some of the glory days in this conversation. But it's not about me though, Dre. It's about you and the listener. So for the listener, tell us who you are today and what you're up to today.
Sure. So Dre Baldwin, come from the city of Philadelphia, now based in Miami, Florida. Background in sports, played sports. Basketball was my sport. 1 year high school ball, walked on, played D3 college ball. Nobody was recruiting me to play pro. So I basically hustled and marketed and sold my way into playing pro basketball. Led to a 9-year career. Excuse me, it wasn't a perfect career because there were times where I wasn't sure when the phone was going to ring again. And in those gaps, I started putting content on the internet. I was going to do that anyway, but I put content on the internet before we were calling it content, before that was a cool thing to do. Started to build an audience through putting basketball videos on YouTube. There was a point about halfway through my career where the phone wasn't ringing. I started creating products to sell online. And that's how I became an entrepreneur, because I started creating products specifically for my basketball crazed audience. They just wanted more programs that could teach them how to do the stuff that I was doing in the videos that I was putting on social media, that we were now calling it social media. And that's how I became an entrepreneur. Kept playing ball for another 5 years after that started. But at that time, players started asking questions about mindset, because they just saw my approach was a little bit different than what they were used to. This guy puts videos out every day when, again, this is before it was cool or normal to put content on the internet every day. Now it's normal, but back then that was not normal. So they just want to know why I did it, or how do you get the confidence to perform in a game the way you do in practice, or how do you get the mindset to keep trying when you face all these setbacks, or you come from this very humble background, as I just explained to you here, Jamie. Why'd you even keep the mind that you could make it as a pro athlete? Because you kept having all these reality telling you that you weren't going to make it. And then how do you get started even doing any of this stuff? If you want to play ball overseas, or you want to be an entrepreneur, or you want to get known on the internet, these are all things that now people were seeing that, hey, there's a way that I could actually do this. How do I do it? So they just want to know, how do you get started? So I started basically in answering those questions. I created the framework that became Work On Your Game, which I'm sure we'll talk about a lot here in this conversation. And kept playing ball till 2015. And by that point, I had already been, as I already said, creating a bunch of stuff online. I had a nice little name online just from putting out basketball stuff. Then I was talking about mindset. I had already started writing books. I was creating courses. So I already had that stuff kind of going by the time I stopped playing. So the normal athlete, when they stop playing, it's they stop cold turkey and they're starting at zero.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right? So by the time I stopped, I was already doing all the stuff that I still do now. So it was a little bit smoother transition for me because of that. And that's how we got here.
Sure. No, that's like, absolutely. That's the one thing that jumped out to me is, obviously, you know, you want your phone to ring. You want to get that next job. You're not happy that you're sitting around waiting for the phone to ring. But sounds like in hindsight, and we'll drill into this more later, but sounds like that adversity that you went through actually propelled you to be more ready for your post basketball career, which is awesome. And I know we have had professional athletes on the show who have done that cold turkey transition, and it can be earth shattering. I mean, it can be, that's, you know, if your entire identity is wrapped up in the sport, which I get. I mean, it's very easy to do, but then all of a sudden that's not who you are anymore. Man, who are you? Right. So sounds like you were, I could tell you are a hustler, and it sounds like you had, you were setting yourself up for success no matter what. So that's awesome. I can't wait to drill into that, especially the mindset piece. So let's jump back though, and further into your backstory, Dre. And again, this is where I kind of leave it up to the guest as far as, you know, where you want to start in your story, because what we want to do is kind of walk through from a younger age and walk back up through today and pull out and focus on some of the real adversity that you've been through, and how you were able to overcome that adversity, how you were able to get through that adversity and get to quote unquote abundance. And and the goal here is for the listener, the entrepreneur out there, to learn from your story, take lessons that, you know, that you've learned and used in your own life, and maybe be able to skip some of the pain that you've had to go through, but still learn from your story and apply that in their life. So let's jump back. Where do you want to start, Dre?
Well, let's go to probably around the turn of the century. So this is around 1999, 2000. Okay. And that's around that time. This is, I graduated high school in the year 2000. So I'm 41 years of age today, graduated high school in 2000. And that was where I used to always go to the bookstores. And my mom is a big, she's in education, so she's always been into reading. And she would always go to the bookstore. And this is before you buy books online. So you had to go to the store if you wanted books. And I would always, whenever I was with her, I would just wander to the sections that I like. So I'll go to the sports section, and also, at the time, they called it human psychology. Now they call it personal development. But they didn't have a personal development section back then. And that's when I stumbled across my favorite book, which is The 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. And that's mm-hmm. really where I started to get into that personal development even more, because I was always into the psychology stuff, like how does the brain work and how does it affect our actions, but I didn't know there was a whole genre for it. And then the way that I really got introduced to it was a couple of years later. It's about 2001, 2002. I'm on my college campus. I'm with the Penn State University. Altoona campus is where I went for basketball specifically. And there was this bulletin board posting. And for those who don't know what that is, this people had to go and send out something. You had to put it on a board. It wasn't digital. You had to actually put it up on a board that people would walk past on campus. And it said, make extra money in the summer and all of that. And this is before college athletes can make money off their name, image, mm-hmm. and likeness. So you really couldn't mm-hmm. make any money when you're a college athlete, because you go to school and playing a sport, you have no time. So mm-hmm. I responded to this bulletin board posting, and this guy was in network marketing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what network marketing was, but he briefly explained the concept. And when I went back to Philly, where I'm from, that summer, I went to a couple hotel meetings for this network marketing company. And the reason why this matters is because in that meeting, two things happened. Number one, the man speaking from the stage was speaking about entrepreneurship and money and business in ways that I had never heard it explained. And at this point, I'm 21, 22 years of age, and I'm majored in business. I have a business degree. And the things that this guy was talking about in this hotel meeting, they did not teach at the college campus that I went to. And I'm like, the way these people are talking about money is completely different. Nobody's ever talked about it like this before. And I thought I was pretty smart, right? That was number one. And number two, and what he was doing, a lot of what he was doing was just breaking your false beliefs about how you think money works and how you think business works and how you think are your options for making money. They're not just what you think they are. There's a lot of different ways to make money besides what you think you know. And that's what he was doing for half the people in the room. The other half of the people in the room were already in the business, so they already heard this before. They're just nodding their heads. And then the other half of it, the other thing that I got from that meeting was at the end of it, he said, when you all leave, there's a table outside with some nice ladies sitting at the table. They're selling personal development books. Make sure you buy those books, because in order to build your business, you got to build yourself as a person. I never heard anybody say that before. Again, in that meeting, it was just these groundbreaking ideas that as soon as I heard them, they made perfect sense to me. And that's how I knew there was a thing called personal development, because he was mentioning these authors, Jim Rohn, Brian Tracy, Tony Robbins, Zig Ziglar, Napoleon Hill. I never heard of these people. But he kept saying their names. And I did not buy the books when I left the meeting, because I was a broke college kid. I barely had no money to get home from the meeting. Yeah. But I went on eBay, and this is before Amazon was the place to buy stuff. I went on eBay and I bought a couple of pirated copies of a couple of books. Okay. So I bought two. I bought, they were 99 cents a piece. It was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And it was Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And I bought both of those books, and all I got was a Word document from the person who sold it to me. And I read both of those books. And what Napoleon Hill's book taught me was that there's a way that you could consciously and intentionally alter the thoughts of your mind that will lead to alteration in the results of your life. And again, new idea to me. Sure. Secondly, and that became pretty much what I do for a living. And secondly, was Robert Kiyosaki. He took it even further than what I heard in that hotel meeting when it came to business and making money. I mean, in Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the first two or three chapters of that book, he's taking everything that most people think they know about how money gets made, and he's just stepping
on it out the window.
Breaking it into pieces and saying, okay, you know, there are people who make money in a way different way than this, right? And when I read that book, I said, okay, when I get out of college, I knew I wanted to play basketball first. I said, I'm going to play ball. But after basketball, I knew basketball would not last forever, especially since I was coming from a D3 school. Who knows how long I'm even going to get to play. Sure. But after basketball, what this guy's talking about, this is the direction that I'm going. I'm not going to go and do the normal, get a job, work 9 to 5, live happily ever after. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what this guy's talking about. I didn't quite understand it then, but I knew that's what I was going to do. So those two stories, what set me on the path for where I'm at today.
No, that's fantastic. And you're absolutely right. I'm familiar with those concepts now, but at the time when I was 21, 22, I had no idea. That would have been all foreign to me as well. I mean, I think you said your mom was in education. My mother was as well. And so this is not a slam on public school teachers or anything like that. The public school system, private school system, anything, but they do in general, it does not prepare you for making money as an entrepreneur or investing or thinking outside the box in any way, shape, or form. I love that. I mean, I do remember Rich Dad, Poor Dad being a mindset shift for me as well. it's not so much to the how-to, like you said. I mean, it's not really in the nuts and bolts of, you know, how to make money on investment property or something like that.
Right.
Cash Flow Quadrant and some of his other books get a little more detailed, but it's that mindset shift of the paradigm shift. And I love the fact that at a pretty early age, you realized the value of investing in yourself. I mean, that's awesome. And you also were taking the long-term view, because you, like you said, you knew basketball wasn't going to last forever. All right, you get this mindset shift, but you still decide, okay, this is what I'm going to work on kind of in the background, it sounds like, but I'm going to pursue basketball. How did your basketball career go at that point?
Yeah. So one thing you said there, Jamie, is that you won't slam the educational system. I will slam the educational system. No. My mom is in the system. My sister's a professor as well. I don't slam the people in the system. Yeah, I'm slamming the system.
That's fair. Yeah. I don't think my mom listens to this anyway. So she should, though. But
she didn't create the system. She works there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, not on
absolutely.
Her.
You're
right. Same way, it's not on my mom. All right. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so moving forward, then I kept that in the back of my mind with Kiyosaki. So I get out of school 2004. Didn't get an offer to play pro immediately. I worked a couple of regular jobs from that first year of graduating. I worked at Foot Locker as an assistant manager. I worked at a gym called Bally Total Fitness selling memberships. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bally's out of business now. No, not because of me. I sold a lot of memberships. All right, so I got pretty good commission checks. So in the summer of 2005, so I've been out of school for a year. I saved up my money and went to this event called an exposure camp. You familiar with those, Jamie?
I've heard of the concept, but fill me in.
Okay. Exposure camp is like a job fair, but it's for athletes.
Okay. Got it.
So any athlete who thinks they're good enough to play at the next level, whatever that may be, because nowadays they have exposure camps for like eighth graders. But back then it was relatively new. Sure. And it was usually for people who want to play pro. So these are destination events where you pay money. It's not free. You pay to attend this event. And then a bunch of athletes who think they're good enough to play at pro level at whatever sport, we all come, we all pay, and we all basically play with and against each other for a couple of days to try to prove that we're good enough.
Sure. Yeah. We had just real quickly in lacrosse, it wasn't to go pro, but coming in high school, we had a couple of camps you could go to, top 205, top star. Exactly. The goal was not to get better. The goal was to show that
showcase.
You're good.
Exactly. Right. So it was to raise your profile.
Yep.
It's the same way they have AAU in high school. It's like that, but for pro, and you had to pay for these. So the audience at these events are not just random people. There are some randoms, but mostly it's agents, coaches, managers, scouts, team owners from all over the world. They come to these places on purpose looking for their next employees, basically. Sure. So I saved up $250 in cash. That's how much it costs to go to the event. I had to save this money up just to give everybody idea where I was at this point. I was still living in my parents' house, and I had to call the event ahead of time and ask them, can I pay you cash at the door? Because I didn't have a credit card or a bank account at this point, 23 years of age. And they said, yeah, you could pay us in cash. They wouldn't take anybody's money. I later found out. They said, I'll take my money. And I had to negotiate with my boss to get 3 days off. I needed off Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Any of you have worked in any kind of retail, nobody gets the weekend off, right? Sure. So I had to negotiate to get the weekend off. We rented a car in Philly. The event was in Orlando. That's about a 15 to 19 hour drive. I don't remember the exact amount, but it was a long drive. We hopped out of the car 9 a.m. Saturday morning, which happened to be the exact start time of the camp. And I tell people I could get away with that at age 23. Couldn't do it now, but we did it.
Yeah, no warm up.
Yeah, exactly. Jumped right out the car and start playing. And I was completely fine. And I played pretty well at the event. Got a good scouting report, which is basically, that was important because now I had a third party saying that this guy he can play. And I got footage from that event. Now, I did not get signed to a contract on the spot, even though I played well. I had to be back at work Monday morning at Bally Total Fitness. So we hopped right back in that car, drove right back to Philly. I had to be back at work. And here's what I started doing, Jamie. I knew that for me to play pro, I knew I was probably not going to play for the Knicks or the Lakers immediately. I was probably going to go overseas. But I had never even been overseas, let alone did I know anybody. So how am I going to make that happen? So the internet did exist at the time. It wasn't what it is now, but it existed. Yeah. I went on Google and I started Googling basketball agents. So anywhere that I saw a basketball agent, many of them had websites at this point. If they had a phone number, I called them. I was cold calling basketball agents in the summer of 2005. And I was just telling them, hey, here's who I am. Here's what I have. Because at this point, and some people may be wondering, well, why didn't you do this last year when you graduated? Well, now I had some collateral, I had some proof. So sure. Now I'm calling him and saying, hey, I got this scouting report. I can send you the link to the scouting report. I got this footage. I called 60 basketball agents. Out of that 60, 20 of them said, okay, let me see what you got. Now, mind you, the footage that I was sending them was not a link. The footage was on this thing called a VHS tape. You remember VHS?
Sure do.
Okay, so millennials listening to this, ask your parents and Google it. Yeah, so I had a VHS tape, and I had a double-decker VCR at home. Again, and those of you who don't know what that is, Google it. And I would make copies of my that master VHS tape, because that was the footage. I couldn't give out the master footage. I made copies of the tape, and I would mail those out to the agents who asked to see it. So 20 agents asked to see the footage. I mailed those out on my own dime. Mind you, I just had to save up $250. So I'm mailing out these tapes in bubble mailers. Mm-hmm. To agents all over the world. Out of those 20 who I mailed it out to, one agent hit me back and said, all right, I'll represent you. He became my agent. And in August 2005, he called me and said, hey, I got a team in Lithuania. They're going to do the deal. And it took about 3 days and it was done. And then I was on a plane. Wow. I was in Kaunas, Lithuania. And that's how I got my pro basketball career started.
Wow. That's awesome. And you're definitely, I mean, you can tell you hit an obstacle and you figure out a way around it or way over it. I can tell that already for sure, which I think goes back to the mindset, investing in yourself, investing in that positive mindset and self-development. Okay, so you go to Lithuania. You don't know anybody there. I mean, I'm sure it's exciting, but it's probably pretty scary too at the same time. What's going through your mind at that point?
No, I was excited. I wasn't nervous at all because you got to remember, Jamie, this is 2005. So we don't have the internet that we have now didn't exist then. So we didn't have social media. So I was looking up Lithuania on, I was like Google Earthing, like Lithuania, where's that on the map? So you don't know anything about what's going on in other parts of the world. So I wasn't nervous at all. I was excited because I'm finally getting to do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And you got to remember, what was I doing before this? I'm working at Bally Total Fitness, living in my parents' home. I'm trying to get out of there, right? And so I just, that right there represented like all this stuff that I've been doing, it's working. All right, this is success. Sure. To get out of there. So I was excited more than anything, just wanted to go over there and play. And that's how it started. And again, this is the fall 2005. And what was your question?
Yeah, just what's going through your mind at that point, and I mean, it sounds like you're just excited to because for the new adventure and new opportunity,
right?
And like you said, maybe you didn't say this, but ignorance is bliss. You don't know any of the downside of Lithuania or where you're headed, and right. It sounds like it's all hope and excitement at that point. But so how do things progress career wise from there?
Well, that was the first place that I played. And then I was back from there. Then I played for a traveling team in the USA. Then I was in, after that, went to Mexico. From there, it was, if I'm keeping this in chronological order, then I was in Montenegro, then Germany. Now we're just going years and years here. Mm-hmm. So then after Germany, that's when I found myself, my career was stalled out. That was the period where I told you I started creating the products. It was about between 2009 and 2011. That's when all the things that became who I am today got put in motion, because there was a period where my phone wasn't ringing and I asked myself, okay, by this point I'm in my mid to late 20s. So I'm like, okay, this is cute when you're 23. It's not cute when you're 28, right? So now you got to actually do something. And that's when I started creating what became this whole work on your game brand, because now I can make money. I could monetize what I was doing on the internet, which again was a relatively new thing for the average person. Now, there are some experts out there who've been doing it for decades, but I was pretty average person when it came to internet knowledge. I've always been a big computer geek, but I didn't know ins and outs of selling stuff online, but I picked it up pretty quickly. I was an early adopter. And during that period, that's when selling products happened. That's when I started using the phrase work on your game. That's when I started talking more mindset. That's when I started writing books. So all four of those things happened at the same time. And all four of those things are a big part of what I do today.
It's awesome. And you've written how many books at this point?
Officially 33.
Wow. So I put one out, and quite honestly, it was based on the podcast content. It still was a good bit of work, but man, that's one book is hard enough to get out. That's awesome. But so when you're just curious, when you're at that point, when your basketball career was kind of like, on hold, if you will, or just, drying up, I don't know.
Stalled.
There you go. Was that, were you dealing with injuries, or was it more just, hey, you're getting a little bit older, losing a step, or what was the reasoning for that?
None of the above. It was just nobody was calling. You would say this is like a prime year. So 2009, yeah. I was 27 years of age. So
sure.
This should be the year everybody's calling, but nobody was calling. So
yeah.
Sometimes in the athletic world, it's kind of like the entertainment world. Like you're in between acting gigs and sure. phone's not ringing. So you're working at Starbucks. Yeah. That's how it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you can't control everything. And to be clear, I mean, we're talking, I remember playing at Gettysburg, playing some pickup basketball with the guys, you know, who played on the team at Gettysburg. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the team was average, you know, average D3 team. I think they were pretty good, you know, but mm-hmm. when I played them, it was just like, they were amazing. Like, it's all relative. Like this is, we're talking, you're playing at an elite level at that point. Like, so it's easy for us to say like, oh, you weren't getting picked up. I mean, it's like, yeah,
right.
You're still an excellent basketball player, but okay. So it sounds like you had another stint in basketball after that period when you, okay. How did that go?
So there was a period for about a year where nothing happened basketball wise. And mm-hmm. I was still playing basketball, but I wasn't signed to a contract. And the thing is, mm-hmm. I started to get more known. Because at this point, we're talking 2009, 2010. So at this point now, the average person is now going to the internet for things instead of turning on the TV. Mm-hmm. That's when this period started to happen. This is when this whole cultural shift began. This is when mm-hmm. we start using phrases like content, social media. Mm-hmm. These were brand new terms. And I was pretty known in these places because I've been putting content out since 2005. So when people mm-hmm. came on the internet, if you looked up basketball in 2010 on the internet, you know my name. Like everybody knew mm-hmm. my name because I had more content out than everybody put together. So mm-hmm. at this point, the fact that I had videos on YouTube was more relevant. It was more important for my name than the fact that I've been a professional athlete, the YouTube videos. So that's what started happening at this time. So now I've started monetizing it. Now YouTube allows you to make money off of ad revenue based on how many people watch your video. Mm-hmm. Now I had products that I was selling. All I did was put a video on YouTube. I would do a drill. Like here's how to dribble between your legs. If you want a whole program on how to dribble between your legs, go to this link mm-hmm. right here. And I'm mm-hmm. selling these programs. So at this point, Jamie, I'm like, okay, if my phone never rings, I never get another call to play overseas, mm-hmm. I'm fine. I'll just do this. I'll just sell this stuff on the internet. And I remember telling someone at that time that what I'm doing here online is going to be bigger than what I'm doing as a professional athlete. Mm-hmm. I could see that in 2009. I knew that was going to be the case. And nowadays you got athletes who come up playing college, don't even try to play pro, and they just become famous on social media. And they make more money doing that than they ever would have made playing overseas. Because they wouldn't have been the same. They wouldn't have had the stature overseas, but online, they're the guy, right? So that happens now. That's a big thing now. So that's what I was doing in 2010. And then self-publishing was a thing. That's another thing. Now you could publish your own books. You didn't have to sign with a publisher because I've always been a writer. I was writing mm-hmm. before I was on YouTube. So I was blogging. That was the first thing I did on the internet. So I've always been a big writer because I'm a big reader. And then when I saw self-publishing was a thing, like I could just write a book and I don't have to go through a publisher to get the deal. Okay, I'm going to write books. So I wrote my first book. Only one of my books is a narrative. My first book was a narrative, just telling my story when I first started playing up through college. All the rest mm-hmm. of my books are more like professional development stuff. So that happened as well. And then the phone did ring again. So I went to Croatia, went to Slovakia. And there's one other place that I'm not remembering there over the next few years. But then I started doing a whole lot of brand deals with companies, Gatorade, Wendy's, Nike, Jordan brand. So I started doing all these brand deals and things. And I'm like, I don't need to play overseas. I don't need to go back overseas. I could just do this. I can make a whole career out of this. Unfortunate part for me was that all this stuff started popping off when I'm getting like 30 and up. So, man, I wish this happened when I was 22. Like, I could have milked mm-hmm. this for a whole decade, but it came kind of on the tail end, the back half of my career. But the good news is because I started talking, one more thing, I do have to mention this. 2010, this is when the players were asking me a lot of questions about mindset just because they started to get a feel for who I was. All right, 1 year high school, D3 ball, you're an overseas pro basketball player, but right now you're in Miami working out in the empty gym, but you keep practicing because you're waiting for the phone to ring. So they just wanted to understand it. And that's when I said, all right, these players keep asking me about mindset. Why not just make some videos that are just about mindset? So I made this video. I remember 2010. I said, all right, this is what I'm going to do, guys. Because at this time, every video I put out was me on the court doing basketball, actual basketball stuff. And every once in a while, I would do a narrative video, like a talking head video. But mostly it was on the court. I said, all right, this is what I'll do. Every Monday, I'm going to put out this video. And I'm going to just talk a little bit about mindset because so many of you keep asking me about it. And I'm going to call this the weekly motivation. I'll put it out every Monday. And you all let me know. This is just on YouTube. Just let me know in the comments if you want me to do more videos like this. If y'all don't like it, it's cool. We'll just stick to the, I'll show you how to do the Kobe move. But if you want the mindset, then just tell me you want this. And the response was overwhelming. They were like, Dre, yes, give us the mindset, the mindset, the mindset. Because I think they could see, like, yes, they wanted to know how to do the stuff. But they could tell just from the little bit that they would, when I would talk, because every once in a while I would make a video just explaining, well, here's what happened when I tried out for the high school team. Because I had a lot of I knew exactly who my demographic was, 13 to 24 year old males who were aspiring basketball players. I knew exactly who they were. So many of them are trying out for high school, not making it, trying out for college, not getting on the team. Their parents are telling them, why don't you give up basketball and get serious? So I knew exactly who they were. So they saw a guy who looked like he probably got the same thing said to him, but he kept going and he made it. So they could see themselves in me. So I knew exactly what they needed. So when I started talking about the mindset stuff, they said, yeah, we want it. And they wanted it from me. It's not that they wanted mindset. They wanted it from me because of who I was relative to who they were. Right. Sure. And they
said, you'd been there. You'd been there already.
Exactly. Exactly. They were me. They were just 10 years younger than me. The same person. And they said, yeah, keep doing it. So I just started doing this weekly motivation thing every Monday. Did the weekly motivation, Jamie, every Monday for 400 Mondays in a row. And that became the foundation for who I am today. Many of my books are based off of something that I said in a weekly motivation video. My TED Talks are based on weekly motivation videos. My speaking, my coaching, all of this stuff is based off something that I said in one of those mindset videos somewhere across that 400 weeks, which spans about 8 years. And that's how I really started to establish myself as a guy who really knows the mindset. And this is where this was beneficial for me, was because I'm on YouTube. Mind you, YouTube is not just basketball. It's just people. YouTube's TV. It's like cable TV. So now people who didn't play basketball started finding me because they would see that video every Monday. They want to find the drill videos every Monday, that mindset video, because it would be something like how to be disciplined and show up every day, how to be confident when it's time to perform. I wasn't mentioning basketball in the video. I was just talking about mindset for basketball. So people who didn't play ball started reaching out and saying, Dre, look, I follow you because I don't even play ball. But that mindset thing, that applies to everybody. So I said, okay, when I get done playing ball, all I got to do is just talk this mindset piece. The ball players can still follow this. And now all these people who don't play ball, they can follow it. So that's going to be my next thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, and I love the fact that you did start niche down, though. I mean, you had a very small focus. You already said who your avatar was. 13 to 24 year old male, I think, something like that. But, which I think, you know, I hear from a lot of marketing people, you really need to have a very specific avatar, especially when you're starting out, because if you're speaking to everyone, you're essentially speaking to no one, but you need that core group, those sort of ambassadors initially to say, like, he's talking to me, he's literally talking to me. And then they go out and tell everybody else about you. And then, the concepts are applicable across any field. So then you can it just scales exponentially. That's awesome. So, I mean, what do you think is your driving force? Like at that time, like, and now as well, I guess, but you know, what is ultimately because clearly you're a go-getter, right? You're driven guy, successful guy. You're going to win. You're going to find a way to win. Why is that? What's the driver behind all this?
It's a great question, Jamie. And I think the big thing for me is just I'm a competitor. So I was always competing against not even the people. Of course, in sports, you compete against the people, but I was competing against the circumstance. Because the circumstance at first was, well, you just started playing ball. You're 14. That's kind of late. You're probably not going to go anywhere. Then it's competing against, can you make the high school team? Then is, can you play in college? And then it's, all right, you play D3 college. All right, you're probably not going pro. Can I compete against that? All right, then I got on pro. All right, I got one contract playing pro, but I saw a lot of guys with one contract who weren't really that good. So I'm like, I can't be grouped with these guys, so I got to get a second contract. All right, can I get another one? Can I get another one? Can I keep this going? And then the internet became a thing. Okay, let me take these concepts that Mr. Kiyosaki was talking about. Let me see if I can plot into the internet. And I also read Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Workweek, where he kind of took the digital approach to similar principles. And I said, all right, can I apply this? Because again, I'm always saying to myself, I'm not going to do what I saw most of my college classmates doing. I knew I wasn't like them. I knew I was very different from them sitting in those lecture halls my last 2 years in college, because we're all, it's the same people you see in every class because we're all focused on our major. I'm like, I'm not like these people. I don't want to go work somewhere. I don't want to do it. So, but I got to do something, right? The bills still got to get paid. So how can I do this? And again, my phone's not ringing from basketball. What can I do to make things happen? And that's why I started going to the internet. So it was always just competing against the situation and let's see how far I can take this. Where can I, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's the next thing? So that's been the biggest driver for me.
Awesome. Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, yeah. So looking back at your sports career, not just professional, but even before that, I mean, what would you say, other than what you've already said, what are a couple of kind of principles that you've taken from your athletic career and that you've applied to the rest of your life and others can apply as well?
Oh, easy. First one, show up every day, do the work. I mean, that one is
awesome.
That's etched in stone. So that's the discipline piece. And that comes from people often ask me, where does the discipline piece come from? Because I put out content every single day for almost 2 decades, whether it's written, audio, or video. And people ask me, where does it come from? Well, I have to give credit to my parents, who are not athletes. I'm 6'4", 6'4" tall. My parents are like 5'7" and 5'8". They're not basketball players, didn't play a sport. My dad's into sports. Like, he follows sports and has coached youth sports and all that, but he doesn't play. He's not a player. Jamie, they got up and went to work every day. All right. Even when they didn't have cars, they would take public transportation. Jobs that I know they weren't too excited to go to. These are jobs they I have to go to work. Not I get to go to work. Right? Those kind of jobs.
Yeah.
And you know, my sister's a year older than me. It was just the two of us two and my two parents. And I knew that they did it because they knew they had a responsibility to take care of their kids and put food on the table and pay the bills. And they never preached about it, never once spoke about it. They never said, hey, be disciplined and go to work every day like us. They never said that. But you have kids?
Yeah, Jim? Two kids. Yeah.
Okay, so we all know.
16 and 14.
Okay, great. So we all know as parents that your kids follow what they see you doing, not what they hear you saying. Right.
So true.
When I got out on that basketball court, I just took what was modeled for me at home and I applied it on the basketball court, even though I wasn't sure it was going to work. And then it worked. And I applied it to the next thing. Then I applied it to the next thing. And that discipline piece has always been with me. I wasn't that great of a student. That was good enough. But the things I actually wanted to do, discipline has always been the number one thing.
Got it. That's really good. Yeah. So your basketball career obviously came to an end. And then what year was that?
2015.
Okay. Yeah. So in the last 8 years, you've really been focused on putting out content and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, coaching, your books and your businesses. What's been the kind of the, from 2015 through today, how have things progressed?
So 2015, by this point, I was starting to do, because the first thing I was thinking when I was getting out of, when I knew basketball was, I was going to stop playing because I didn't get pushed out. I stopped playing. Was I was going to do a professional speaking. That's the first thing I want to do, professional speaking, because I was doing all these videos on YouTube and people just liked the way that I would articulate and break stuff down. And they said, well, you sound like you could be a coach or the college professor or something like that. I said, all right, maybe professional speaking. So I went to a Toastmasters meeting and somebody told me, that somebody put me onto this concept that there are people out there who just go and stand on stages and talk for an hour and they get paid. I didn't know that was a thing. So I said, let me go do that. So my first idea was I was going to get into that space. So that's where I started doing the TED Talks and things like that. And I did do a good amount of speaking up until about 2020 when COVID happened. And then there were no events for a minute. And then everybody started doing more Zoom. And I never liked doing events on Zoom. I like doing this on Zoom, but I never liked speaking on Zoom. So that's when I started focusing more on the coaching from 2020 till now. But during that whole period, it was courses, the books. There was some coaching. You know, people would come to me and just ask me, do I do any coaching? Even when I wasn't even trying to sell coaching, just because I was creating so much content. So it's always been that. And I was still selling the basketball program. So I did that from 2015 to 2020. I was speaking, courses, and selling my products. Those are the main things. And then just ad revenue that was getting online. Then in 2020, I dropped the speaking, didn't really focus on that anymore, and started focusing on coaching. So I still had the product, still got the books, and now mm-hmm. just coaching.
Got it. Now, yeah. And I can tell you, I mean, yeah, you want to make money. Yeah, you want to be successful yourself. Absolutely. I mean, that's, you should. But right. but the flip side is you clearly lead with adding value first, putting out content, putting a lot of free value out there, free to the consumer, you know, takes work for you right. consistently. But all the other thing I want to point out is clearly you listen. And you've mentioned that a few times. You clearly took feedback from others as to what they're interested in and what they see in you, like what you are actually good at. You know, so you're not just like full steam ahead, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. You're taking in input and applying that and pivoting and giving the people what they want, what they need, and what you've shown you have been successful applying. So yeah, I love all that. So now the coaching in the last few years, what does that look like?
Well, it depends on who I'm talking to, depends on who I'm coaching. Gotcha. So I've always tried to keep my coaching bespoke. So I know there are some coaches out there, they have I was actually just talking about this yesterday, something I was recording that some coaches have a straight line method. Like, okay, mm-hmm. you want to make $10,000 a month selling courses, get in my program. That's exactly what we're going to teach you. We're going to teach mm-hmm. you that. And then there are other coaches who they're more holistic. They're just a coach, sure. right? If my style sounds like the type of person you would want to talk to on a regular basis, and we get to know each other more intimately, and I can help you through different things, then I'll do that as well. So I like both lanes, mm-hmm. but I personally prefer working with high level people who have complex challenges, because I get to know them on a more personal level, and I can even coach them personally. So this is mm-hmm. not always in a group. So I have group options, but I also like to coach people personally, because in my experience, Jamie, when I'm talking to people who are at let's say they're making at least $250,000 a year or more, mm-hmm. they don't just need help with business. All right. This mm-hmm. is personal stuff. So it's life stuff. It's spouse stuff. It's kids stuff. It's how do I keep my body in shape? Because I'm at work all the time making all this money. All right. How do I, can you help me just overall? I just need somebody to just talk to every couple of weeks to just hold space for me so I can let this stuff out, because everywhere else in my life, I'm the one that they talk to. So who do I talk to? Right. Yeah. So that's a big thing that I like personally. If I had to pick just one type of client, that's the type of person mm-hmm. I like to work with.
Yeah. It makes sense. I started working with a business coach a few months ago, and he's been fantastic. Also a former college athlete. And, and it's, I call him my business coach, but he really is more of a life coach.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so much more than just, you know, he just started working on our businesses, my businesses. It's also, it's everything. Lately, he's been my therapist as well. So, but I mean, being an entrepreneur can be, you know, this is not a pity party, but it can be a lonely space, because if you are in charge of organizations, you're constantly just putting out fires. You're only dealing with problems, you know, and you're kind of, it's easy to find yourself on an island. So I think investing in a coach is absolutely paramount, and also mm-hmm. surrounding yourself in, you know, community of other like-minded people. Got it. Yeah. So I can only imagine you're adding a ton of value to the people you're coaching. So, you ready for some rapid fire questions?
Yes.
All right, Dre, what is one thing that people misunderstand about you?
It's a good question. One thing that people misunderstand about me.
That one usually gets a little bit of a pause. It's not quite as rapid fire.
Yeah. I don't know if people misunderstand anything about me. I think I'm pretty good at articulating exactly where I stand. So sure. I think people go into what I'm actually sharing, then there's no confusion. So I don't think there's anything, any one particular thing.
Sounds good. What would you say is one of your biggest failures, regrets, something you'd like to have a do-over with, however you want to frame it?
As a college athlete, I could have been more, what's the word? I guess more disciplined when it came to within the team framework, as far as practicing hard every day in team practice. I always did good doing stuff by myself, but with the team, I didn't always have the best effort, which led to me losing opportunities for playing time. And I could have been a better player in college because of that. I think the light switch turned on when I got to the pros, but I could have been a better player in college. And even though it would not have affected my pro prospects, I don't think I could have been a better player in college had I just had more discipline for what the team needed.
Got it. That's interesting. I can identify with that. If you could go back and give your 18-year-old self some advice, what would that be?
Get into personal development as quickly as possible. Find out what it is. Get into it as quickly as possible. Get around the right other people who are positive and going somewhere. And learn to tap into the brains of other people. When you're looking to create success, you don't have to do everything on your own. And just invest in yourself. Investing in yourself. Use your money to buy time.
Love that. That's I'm going to have to play that one again for myself. If you could have coffee with any historical figure, who would it be?
Well, I don't drink coffee, but okay. I'll have a glass
tea,
of water.
Water? Yeah. All right, perfect.
Any historical figure, just one person?
It doesn't have to be your favorite person ever. It's just somebody you'd like to spend have a conversation with. They could be still alive today or not.
One person I have a conversation with, man. If I had to only pick one, I would go with maybe Robert Greene, my favorite author.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. If you were given $10 million tomorrow, Dre, what would you do with it?
$10 million tomorrow. I would probably hold a good amount of it. I'd take $1 million and pay for any things that I need to pay for. I don't think I have more than $1 million and things need to be paid for. So I would probably try to hold a good amount of it, invest a good amount of it, and yeah, just make sure everything's paid off. Everything should say zero. Every balance should be at zero. And yeah, then I would just try to hold it. I think I would just sit. So I think somebody said, if you ever get a big windfall of money, one of the best things you could do is just sit and just experience the feeling of having it and not doing anything with it. So that's probably what I would do for maybe a couple months if I can control myself. I'll take $1 million and play with it, but then the rest of it. Yeah.
Hold nine back. Got it.
Right.
What's the challenge that you're facing in your career right now, your business?
Qualified leads. Right, same challenge every entrepreneur has. So I'm always looking for people who are good at I'll tell you this. Have you read Benjamin Hardy and Dan Sullivan, 10X is easier than 2X?
I have read other books of his. I have not read that one.
Okay, so that's
Dan Sullivan. Yes, I've read a couple of their books.
Yeah, Sullivan has like 30. He's got a bunch of books.
Yeah.
But the two of them together, they've done a couple.
Who Not How is one I've read.
I think it's the I've Gap not read the Gain.
One. Yeah, The Gap in the Gain is another one. Right. I've not read that, but... Anyway.
Yeah. So in this 10X is easier than 2X, one of the things that they're talking about is how you can 10X your results instead of making incremental progress, make big progress. And it's about getting clear on, and this is something I've been telling my audience even before I knew about their book, but they articulate in a way that I would not have thought of saying it. Mm-hmm. And Hardy does most of the writing for the book. It's a lot of it is about what you got to drop. What do you got to get rid of? Because if you're going to make a big jump in your life, you got to drop things. I'm saying all that to say this. I know what things I should be doing and what things I shouldn't be doing. So three things that I should be doing is conversations like this one, where I'm talking to one person, but we're talking to an audience or talking to an audience or like a coaching call or a sales call or writing or making content. Those are either talking to an audience, talking to one person or writing. Those are my $3 million skills. Everything else I should not be doing. I should be passing on to someone else. So I hate... Actually, I am good at building sales funnels. I can do it better than most people, but I don't want to build another sales funnel because I'm not a behind the scenes guy. I'm a I'm a front facing guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to run ad campaigns. I hate setting up ad campaigns. So I am always looking. So your question was, what am I missing? Lead generation. So I'm always looking for people who are good at generating leads for people who sell stuff that is like, high ticket, like coaching and consulting. So I go to marketing conferences and every other person I meet, they do that. So it's really just about vetting and finding people, letting them test out, see who's good at it. And I got a few people that I got pending right now that are going to generate leads for me. And if they can do what they say they can do, then that solves that problem.
Yeah, no. And I think every entrepreneur has that issue where it's, not even shiny object necessarily. It's just you might be good at a lot of things. And so it's hard to say no. And it's hard to, even if you might do the marketing piece, the funnel piece better than somebody else, what are you not doing? What are you not focused on? Is that opportunity cost? That's really big. So, it's, and look, every business has challenges. So that's, I appreciate you sharing that. So, in your opinion, what's one of the most important personality traits that somebody needs to be successful in business? Something you haven't mentioned yet. You've already dropped so much knowledge.
Mental toughness. If someone's going to be successful in anything, business or anything else, is mental toughness. Are you familiar with this essay called Carry a Letter to Garcia? Ever heard of it?
No, I have not heard of that.
So it was written by Elbert Hubbard back in, I believe, 1899. And I didn't know about it either. But this is a guy named Dan Kennedy. You familiar with Dan Kennedy?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so I have a Dan Kennedy book of, because his thing is he's not on the internet. He doesn't have a cell phone. He's not an online guy. Yeah. He wrote, he would send faxes to people in his mastermind. And he took all his faxes from like 10 years straight. He put them into a book. And I'm reading the faxes. So in one of these faxes, he's talking about, he said this, he says, hey, I need type of people who can carry a message to Garcia. And then he puts in parentheses, look it up if you don't know what that means. I looked it up and I read it. It's only 3 pages long. And in that message, that message is all about finding the type of people who you can just tell them to go get something done and they get it done. They don't have to ask you 15 questions. They don't need you to hold their hand. They don't need you to lay out the whole plan of what to do. Just say, get this done. They get it done. All right, done. And it'll be done. And you don't even need to know how they got it done. So mental toughness is about, do you have the mentality? Do you have that type of mentality? If you're going to be an entrepreneur, you must have that type of mentality because there's often no blueprint for doing what you're trying to do.
So true. And
if you're going to have people working for you, if you don't have that mentality, then you cannot demand it of them. And if you, I read the letter just yesterday from when we're recording this, Jamie, and I sent the link to my assistant and I said, read this and tomorrow we're going to discuss it. And that's awesome. We discussed it this morning and she said, you know, it's funny, Dre, when I read that article, it kind of reminded me of you. So it was a compliment that she was giving to me. But, and I told her, listen, this is kind of what I need you to be. I need you to be this type of person. I didn't hire you to be a robot because, listen, there's AI software that can replace you if all you're going to do is a robot. And I told her that. I told her, it's AI software that can copy paste. I don't need you to copy paste. I need you to be human and go get things done when I need you to get them done. So that's my answer. Mental toughness.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm glad you didn't have to send her the VHS tape and send her a link. But I said the same thing. I have a virtual assistant who does some marketing and I told her last week, you know, she said, well, I said, why did we pick this clip? It doesn't look very good, to be honest. Like, you know, and she said, well, that's the one that the software chose. And I said, the software works for us. We, you know, we're in charge here. So, but, yes. So you've already rattled off a bunch of books. So talk about a couple of yours. Like what are one or two of your favorite books that you've written?
Well, my favorite would be my first one. It's called Buy a Game. And that was just me telling my story of basketball when I first came up. But to your audience, what I would suggest is my book, The Third Day, which is right here. Are we on video?
Yes. Yep. I see it. Yeah.
The Third Day is this book right here, The Decision That Separates the Pros from the Amateurs. This book is all about how do you show up and give your best effort when you least feel like it. So it's basically a subtopic of discipline, showing up and having a strategy and a structure for giving your best effort on the days when you don't really feel like being at work or being at the gym or answering those calls or whatever we had to do as an entrepreneur. It's always stuff we got to do we don't feel like doing.
Yeah.
And the key of successful people is even on the days when they don't feel like going, they go. Like I went to the gym this morning. I would never even think about not going to the gym. All right. There are days I feel better, days I feel worse. Yeah, exactly. There's never a day I wouldn't go to the gym. There's never a day I wouldn't record if I need to record or write if I need to write, right? Because that's what I do. So it's not a question. It's just a matter of when am I going to do it, not if I'm going to do it. And that's what this book is all about. And I call it The Third Day because, you know, the first day when you start something, everybody's all excited and trying to show off. Everybody's there the first day. Second day, a little bit less excited, but people still show up. And by that third day, metaphorically, you got the regulars, are the people who are going to be serious. So I don't know when this episode is going to come out, but we all know in January, anybody who goes to a gym, January is packed.
It's packed.
Everybody's there. Yep. About Valentine's Day, back to the same people from last year. And that's what the third day is about. Third day is any moment in life when you realize that the thing you signed up for is not all fun and games. And the question is, the decision that you make, are you going to keep showing up or are you not? That's what the third day is. The decision is not the occurrence, because the occurrence happens to everybody. The decision is not. So I give everybody a free copy of this book. Can I share how they can get it?
Yeah, absolutely. Please do.
Yeah, paperback, free copy paperback. Just go to thirddaybook.com. All we ask is that you cover the shipping and we'll ship this book physically to wherever you live, anywhere in the United States, international as well. So thirddaybook.com.
Fantastic. Yeah. Dre Baldwin, man, this has been fantastic. What's one question that I have not asked that you wish I had?
That's a good one. But we didn't talk about all the work on your game philosophy. So we didn't really talk about initiative, personal initiative, but you brought it up many times when you talk about the go-getter and about confidence. We didn't talk about that much either. But discipline creates confidence. So if you can be disciplined, you're going to be confident. And mental toughness, I consider that to be like the bodyguard for your confidence. It's like your security system. So we didn't talk about those things, but they kind of fit into what we talked about already.
Absolutely. I mean, I've heard, I think, reps, you got to put in the reps. And if you don't have discipline, you're not going to put in the reps. And you put in the reps, and that's what leads to confidence, like you said.
Right.
And well, put in the reps, it leads to competence. And then competence leads to confidence. They all kind of play together. That's awesome. So, Dre, anything else you want to add before we sign off?
Just letting everybody know that no matter what it is you do, we all have a game, whether you're a real estate maintenance man, a librarian, an entrepreneur, or athlete, and you need to understand what game you're in, learn the rules of the game, do the work so that you can work on your game. Then you prepare, you get an opportunity, you perform, you produce results, you get rewards. So that's the process for anybody and anything you do.
Yeah. I mean, this has been a very, very energy packed and just refreshing episode, very practical, mindset based. You know, I know that you've personally have been through a lot of adversity along the way, a lot of ups and downs. And I just think the listener's going to be able to relate to a lot of this, whether they were a basketball player or not. Like you said before, it relates to everybody. So this has been great. Where can our listeners find you online, Dre?
I'm on every social media platform actively. So we publish everywhere every single day. I'm probably most active on Instagram. I'm most active on Instagram because I personally will use it. My assistant does a lot of the postings, but it's all my content. So Instagram is just my name, at Dre Baldwin. I'm also pretty active on X/Twitter. My Twitter is just at Dre All Day. That's where I like to talk about current events. So I like to get into interesting conversations over there on X. But besides that, I'm on every platform, every single one I'm on there.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Dre Baldwin, thank you so much, man. This has been great. So thanks for spending your time with us. We appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity, Jamie. Thank you for sharing your platform.
Absolutely. And to the listener, thank you for spending your most valuable resource with us, and that is your time. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for joining us on From Adversity to Abundance. We hope today's episode has equipped you with valuable insights and practical advice to elevate your real estate journey. For more inspiring stories and resources, visit us at www.adversitytoabundance.com. If this episode has inspired you, please share it with a friend who could also benefit from our conversation. Together, let's turn adversity into abundance. Until next time, keep building your mental fitness and your real estate empire.
Hey there, it's Jamie Bateman. Ever felt boxed in by life's challenges? Dive into my new book, From Adversity to Abundance, Inspiring Stories of Mental, Physical, and Financial Transformation, available now on Amazon. From a former bank robber's redemption to a young entrepreneur's victory over hurdles, these stories are not just inspiration. They're the roadmaps to your transformation. Whether for you or as a powerful gift to friends and family, especially those who might not tune into podcasts, this book is a beacon to a life of abundance. Ignite that inner fire and set your course to the life you've imagined. Purchase yours today on Amazon and light the path for someone you love.